Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Maseches Bava Metzia, Daf Mem Vav. We're holding on Mem Hei Amud Beis, two lines off the bottom, Meisvei. This is going to be a kasha on Rav Papa, who tells us that even according to the Shita, that Matbeya, a coin, cannot trigger chalipin, right? So chalipin is that sort of swap, right? Two people want to exchange items. As soon as one person gets the item that's coming to him, he makes a kinyan on that. Automatically, instantly, the item that he's giving to the other party reverts to that other party's ownership. So as soon as you make a kinyan on one, the other one automatically flips to the next person. Chalipin, exchange, swap, switch. But what about a matbeya? Right? Could you use matbeya to trigger chalipin? I want to give you a coin, and in exchange, I want your car. I'm not using the coin as payment, as kinyan kesef, rather as chalipin, to make a switch, a swap, to make an instant transfer of ownership on both items. So we had a machlekes, and according to one shita yesterday, a matbeya cannot serve to trigger chalipin. But Rav Papa tells us it can be acquired through chalipin. So let's say we're switching money for a car. True, by doing the kinyan on the money, that will not instantly affect the car's ownership. But the other way around, if I make a kinyan on the car, let's say I'm taking a car from you and giving you money instead, so the kinyan that I make on the car instantly transfers the money to you, and now belongs to you. So that was Rav Papa's chiddush. Money cannot initiate chalipin, and the reason was because you must use an item which has, you know, inherent value. Money is, you know, is sort of a relative type of entity. It's only as long as it's legal, as it's considered legal tender, right? Otherwise, it doesn't really have inherent. So that cannot be used for chalipin, which needs a kli, something that's absolutely valuable. Okay, it can't trigger chalipin, but according to Rav Papa, it can be acquired through chalipin. So if I give you the item, you take that item from me, I will get your money in exchange, and it's an instant transfer. Meisvei, here comes a kasha on this idea. You have a fellow standing, you know, in the granary, and he has maser sheni material. He wants to be mechalel that onto money. He wants to transfer the kedusha onto money. Now, the owner himself, the owner of the maser sheni, does it. He must add a fifth to the total amount of money that he'll offer for the maser sheni. Whereas if a stranger, a fellow who does not own that material, will do the chilul on that material, he will not need to add a chaymish. So we have a fellow attempting to do chilul and also attempting to shortcut the system and avoid paying the chaymish. Can that be done? Sure. Hayamid begayr, he's standing in the granary, ve'en bi'adim mois. So the farmer himself, who has the grain right here, doesn't have money on hand. And now he wants to get away from doing the chaymish, meaning if he would have money, he would just give the money to his friend standing nearby. He says, you make the chilul for me, but he doesn't have money to do that. So he turns to his friend, his good friend standing nearby, who understands what he's up to. He says, Hare, peres halalu nesunim l'cha b'matana. Look, I'm granting you a very generous gift. All this wheat is yours. Okay, so now it belongs to Shimon. V'chayze v'oimer. Now Reuven, the owner, the former owner, gets up and says, Hare hein mechulalon al mois sheishli b'bayis. Look, I want this maser sheni to be transferred, the kedusha to be transferred, the money that I have at home. And since I'm no longer the real owner, you're the owner of the maser sheni, I don't have to pay the fifth. That's the end of the halacha. Here comes the question. Taima de'im b'yodei mois. Apparently, it's all because he doesn't have money on hand. Otherwise, he would take the money and give it to his friend and have his friend do the chilul. But then it looks better, actually, because his friend is not really the owner of the produce. So that would be a better, a more preferred system. Right? Right? But if I, the owner, would have money on hand, likni lulu idach b'mashicha. Yeah, I would take the money, give it to you, and you would, you know, take it into your possession. It's your money. Uparik, and you would make the chilul, the hachi adif, because this way it's better. It looks better. The havali nachri, because he's totally a stranger, doing the chilul, and of course, he saves the chaimish. But since I don't have money on hand, I have it at home, I don't have it here, so I can't employ this method. Rather, I'm going to give you the actual wheat, and I will make the chilul using the money I have at home. But it's not really the best system, because now it looks like ha'aroma, looks like I'm shortcutting the system. I really I'm the fellow who grew this crop. So yeah, I sort of got around it by giving it to him, but the better, more preferred method would have been if I would have money on hand to give you the money and have you do the chilul on my stuff, in which case, although the money came from me, but it doesn't look, you know, as questionable. Question is, vi amris matbea niknu b'chalipin, according to our contention that matbea, although it cannot trigger chalipin, we contended that it can be acquired through chalipin. Meaning, let's say I want to give you some money in exchange for a box of tissues, right? So giving you the money into your hands will not turn the tissues into mine. It doesn't make that instant flip. But if I take the tissues, yeah, the money now becomes yours. So you can acquire money through chalipin of the item received in exchange for that money. If that's true, we amras matbea niknum chalipin niknum leimois lahaich. Let me give you the money, agav sudar. The farmer has money, right? Just not here. Okay, du chalipin. You give me, you're my good friend, my visitor, right? You give me a sudar, some sort of material, a handkerchief, some sort of, you know, article of clothing, and by me accepting that sudar, automatically, instantly, my money, wherever it is now yours, and allows you to use that money for a chilul of the master sheni, which is the more preferred method, as we said, beliflerik, and have you do the pidyon, the chilul of the master sheni. Well, says more or less like sudar, we're speaking that the visitor doesn't have any extra sudar to use. Okay, fine, you can't use chalipin, but let me give it to my friend as a package deal together with a piece of karka. Right, that's one of the methods of kinyan called kinyan agav. We bundle things together. I give you a piece of land, which you now make a chazoka on. We're standing right here. Here, take this little inch by inch piece of land. You make chazoka, dig it, whatever. And together with that, you're getting my money. So that allows you to have money, etc. Let's say karka, we're speaking, I don't have karka. What do you mean? V'imid begorin katani, we're speaking that he's standing in the farm. Begorin shen shaloi. It's an agorin, doesn't belong to me. So basically, nobody has anything, and therefore the only way to proceed is, as we learned in the Mishnah there, by giving him the produce, etc. V'ichbal tana, the tana here, is troubling himself to go into such an unusual, unique situation where nobody has anything, nobody has extra clothing, nobody. Lo shminon gavra atriloi, to speak about people who are without clothing, basically, you know, the less leklumi has nothing to spare for the kinyan. Oh, so that's not really, it doesn't sound right. Rather, it sounds more like you cannot actually do this. El olav shmamino, apparently we learn from here, ein matbea niknum chalipin shmamino. You cannot transfer money through the chalipin system, through the swap, instant exchange system. And therefore, since the money is not right here, there's no way for me to give it to you. Chalipin, it doesn't work when it comes to being kind of money. The Afra Papa Hadarbe, and truthfully says the Gemara Papa himself, who said that you can be kind of money through chalipin, he reverted, he changed his mind. He Hadra Papa, as we have the story involving Rav Papa himself, Havolei Tresa Alfei Dinri Bechuzoi, he was owed 12,000 dinarim by somebody in the town of Bechuzoi. And he wanted to collect that loan. Akninu Rav Shmuel Bar Acha. So this Tana Rav Shmuel was traveling there, Samayra. So Rav Papa wanted him to collect it on his behalf. So he says, look, I'm giving it to you. So now you can deal with the people and make sure that they give it to you. And in fact, Rashi says, there was another advantage that if the Shliach loses it en route, he's responsible because um, Well, actually, no. The point why he had to be makne to Rav Shmuel, the emissary, was otherwise the people there wouldn't give it to him, for concern that it might get lost on the road before it gets back to the lender, to Rav Papa. So he was forced to actually give it to give him ownership, to grant him ownership of that over that that claim, that money. How did he do it? How did he give him the money which he didn't? Agav asifa devesa. No, so actually what happened was he was owed money. Sorry, it wasn't owed money. He had deposited all this money. He put it in a bank in Bechizoi. Some say Bechizoi means the city of Mechizah. Some say it means a town called Bechizoi. In any case, that's where he had his money sitting. And Rav Shmuel Baracha was being sent to pick it up. So our Papa granted him ownership. Right here and now. How did he do that? He didn't have the money to give. Agav, because he bundled it together with Asipa the base of the threshold of his house. So basically gave him the ownership of the threshold together with that, the money. And now Rav Shmuel becomes the owner. He went there, he picked it up. He also, when he returned with the money, Rav Papa was so happy that he was successful. Nafak la'pei atavach. He went out and greeted him all the way to the place called Tavach. So bottom line, we see from here that this was the only way that Rav Papa himself considered to be the method of transferring ownership on money. Kenyan agav. What about chalipin? Why couldn't he just use chalipin? To give Rav Shmuel Baracha ownership of that money, apparently, because money cannot be included in a chalipin swap. And it's Rav Papa himself speaking. Okay, v'chein, now we go back to the original machlekes between Rav and Levi, whether you can use a matzbeya to make a kinyan chalip, to trigger chalipin. V'chein amar ula, ein matbeya nasa chalipin. You can't. V'chein amar Rabbi Asi says, ein matbeya nasa chalipin. V'chein amar Rabbi Yochan, ein matbeya nasa chalipin. Eisvei, Rabbi Abba l'ula. Here comes a kasha that Rab Abba asks Ula, who just told us that you cannot make chalipin with a matbeya. Remember Bryce, a fellow hired workers, and he's due to pay them. He's walking down the street, and he has his donkey drivers, his workers, running after him for money. He passes by the banker, the money changer, who has money on hand. Do me a favor, please give me, I owe them a dinar, right? Please let me have mois, meaning copper, lower denomination coins, like let's say pennies. Give me a dollar worth of pennies. But fine, the same, so I can pay off my workers, and I'll pay you back. Vani e'elecha, I will repay you, yofa dinar, a beautiful, high quality coin, with races. And another, coin on top of that, a bonus, a fee. Mimoyis sheyesh li beisi. From the money that I have at home, I have money back at home, and I'll pay you back. So is this a ribis issue? Because really he's like borrowing X amount and giving by XY. Mimoyis limoyis mutra. If he has money back at home, then this transaction is okay. Vimlamos, otherwise it's not. So the Gemara at this point figures, why is it allowed? What happened to ribis? He's repaying more than he borrowed. The answer is, at this point the Gemara figures, because he wasn't really borrowing. He had money at home. All he did was chalipin. He switched. I'm taking your dollar worth of pennies right here. I'm desperate. I'm in the street. I need it right now. And by acquiring this, by being kind of this, instantly, I'm switching it for a bit more money than I have at home. That's not borrowing. It's a kinyan. This is for that. This in exchange for that. So there's no issue of ribis. Hold it. If matbeya cannot make chalipin, havi lehalvo. There was no instant swap at all. There was no instant exchange between the lower amount of money and the higher amount of money. It's a straight out loan. Also, you can't do that. You can't borrow 100 pennies and return 110. Ishtik. So Ula was silenced. It's a good kasha. Amalei Rav Abba actually came to the rescue. The one who asked the kashi says, "Dilma idiv idiv beproitetais shana." Maybe both these individuals, the shulchani and the employer, both their so-called monies wasn't really legal tender. It wasn't really money. It wasn't really legal currency. Beproitetais shana. Rashi says, little slugs, little copper slugs, which have not yet been minted. So it's not money. The leka layotiva. It doesn't yet have its form, right? V'idi v'idi pei rahavu. So technically, it's not called money. It doesn't have a status of currency. It's pei rahavu, meaning it's you know, it's an item. It's a commodity of value. That explains why you can make that chalipin. So you avoid the whole ribbis issue. He took 100 slugs and instantly transferred his 110 slugs, which he had at home, to the shulchan, his ownership. Amalei says, yeah, that's a good point. It's a good way to explain the b'raisa in. Yeah, deikonami. In fact, the wording of the b'raisa indicates as such that we're not speaking about an actual money exchange. Diktoni yafa dinar utresis. It says, the value of a dinar traces am I giving you. V'loi k'tani dinar, doesn't say I'm giving you a nice coin, dinar yafa plus a traces. I mean, no, clearly, I'm not speaking about legal tender. I'm giving you, precious metal, the value of a dinar traces. Okay, so that answers the question. Of course, chalipin can work in this case. Ravashi Omer, you don't have to go that far. Lo'ilam b'damim b'protetois. Even if we're speaking about a fellow who's offering to pay, he's paying for it. He's not doing an instant swap. I'm taking X amount and I'm paying you back more. So sure, the actual lashon of the Mishnah indicates that we're speaking about proitatis, these slugs, fine. But even if not, even if without that point, even if it, let's say, fine, he's giving him proitatis, but as a form of payment, and even if it'd actually be offering to pay back what he borrowed, there will be no issue with giving him back more. You know why? Given the islay, since the employer who is sort of borrowing this has his own stock of money, so it doesn't really appear like a loan. Nasa ka'imis, like he's saying to the person, look, just give it to me for a few seconds. I'll pay you back right away. It's not really a loan. Halveni, lend it to me. Atshayovi b'ni, until my son comes around and gives me access to the money. Oh yeah, until I find the key to the safe. It's not really called a loan, especially as Tosis points out, because it looks more like a transaction. He's taking this type of coin, giving back the other type of metal. So since it's like a very short-term type of thing, because he really has his own stock, and he's about to access that stock, so it doesn't look like a real loan, and therefore, even if he gives him back more, it's okay. Okay, so bottom line, we thought we had a kasha. We thought we have real money being part of a chalip in exchange, but it turns out not so. Toshmai, here comes another raya from a Mishnah, which apparently teaches us that matbea can be used in a chalip in exchange. This is a Mishnah Mesechs Kiddush. So at this point we figure, the Mishnah means, a thing which is typically used for payment. Kolanasa damim, it's used to pay ba'achar for an item, basically, i.e., money. Kimish ze chaze, nischayev ze bechalipin. Okay, so as soon as the person received the money, right? Let's say the money is being given in exchange for something else. As soon as the fellow receives the money from the buyer, nischayev ze bechalipin. So now the buyer who gave that money assumes full responsibility for the item which was provided in exchange for that money, because it's an instant transfer of ownership. And the Gemara explains again, what do these words mean? Kolanas damim ba'achar means like this. Mind you, what is that? Matbeya, money, which is typically used to pay for items. Ushmamnas, what do we see from this Mishnah? Matbeya nasa chalipin. By handing money over in exchange for an item, there's an instant transfer of ownership. Apparently, matbea can make chalipin. Amar Avida v'chaka, Amar, no, that's not what the Mishnah meant. Actually, we're not speaking about money changing hands at all. We're speaking about items changing hands. Kol nishoyim damim ba'achar. an item which is typically assessed. It's appraised. Its value is determined before it's used to in an exchange system, in a swap arrangement for another item. Before you swap items, you determine its value. So we're not speaking about money, which is used to pay for items. We're speaking about an item which is used to swap for another item. So let's say we're swapping, you know, a shor for a para. I'm taking your ox in exchange. I'm giving you my cow. Once either one of these fellows takes hold of the item that she's receiving, so the other fellow now assumes ownership of the other item received in exchange, because it's an instant swap of ownership. So again, it's not money, rather it's items. It appears that this interpretation is correct. Look at the next part of the Mishnah. Ketzad, for example, hichluf shor b'para. Right? Two people are swapping an ox for a cow, or a donkey for an ox. Shema mino, clearly we're speaking about items rather than money. Okay, it's not got us out of that question. Now the question now is, l'mayda sanka daita mikara. But you know, initially, what were we thinking? Then in fact, the Mishnah was referring to money, right? Not beya. My ketzad. So what does the Mishnah mean when it continues by giving us an example of animals? Money isn't animals. Hachikam, the Mishnah means to take it a step further. Just like money can be used in a chalipin arrangement, or peri nami ad chalipin. Peri just means anything other than utensils. So not only do utensils create a chalipin situation, but even peris, even other types of items and commodities and animals, nami ad chalipin can also be used in a chalipin arrangement. Ketzad, for instance, hechle sheva para, chamar b'shar. Now, hanich l'rav sheshes. This is all good kind of sheshes. The Omar peri of the chalipin, you can do chalipin with basically anything. So yeah, ox, cow, perfect candidates. Elul Rav Nachman, the Omar kliin. But this machlek is later on in the perek. Rav Nachman holds, we learned this from Boyaz, that he used a shoe to make chalipin. Only a kli, a utensil, can be used for chalipin. Kliin, of a peri le, but not peris. Apparently of the chalipin. So my keta, what does the Mishnah mean? He swapped for animals. Hachik Amr means like this. Yesh damim shein kechalipin. This is a very interesting case. You know, typically, we learned this a little bit in the beginning of the parak. Typically, when you purchase an item, the halach is that even if minatira, the handing over of the money affects the kinyan, that triggers the transfer. But you have to actually go ahead and do mishicha. You have to physically take the item that you're purchasing into your possession. Until that, you can, you know, renege on the deal. But we have exceptions to the rule. Yesh damim. At times, even something used as payment, for payment, meaning you're sort of employing the kinyan kesef method, not chalipin, kesef, but it works instantly. Even before you made a kinyan mashicha on the item that you purchased. Yesh damim shein kechalipin, in which case it's like, it's comparable to chalipin, which also makes an instant transfer. So again, chalipin is instant. But when you purchase something, you pay for it with money, it's not instant. You haven't really assumed full ownership until you do mashicha on the item that you purchased. But sometimes it works instantly. Ketza, for instance, hechlef d'mei shor b'para. And that's what the Mishnah over there is telling us. Sometimes, damim, something used for payment, can work along the same lines as chalipin, meaning it has an instant transfer effect. Ketzad hechlev d'mei shor b'para. Suppose I had a par, you had a shor. I bought your shor for $100. But you know what? Instead of paying you the money, you decided, you know what? Actually, could you give me your para as payment for the shor? It's not a swap. It's not chalipin. I'm buying your shor and paying you with my para. Or I'm paying with a shor for the chamar that I got from you. So in these cases, as soon as I took possession of the shor, which I purchased from you, which now triggers a chiv to pay you with my para, automatically it's a done deal. Nobody can change their minds. I have to give it to you. In contrast to a typical kinyan kesef, where I have a chance to, I still have time to cancel the deal until I make mashicha on the item that I'm purchasing. Here it's different. As soon as one of these fellows takes possession of one of these items, I take possession of your shor, even before you took my para, I cannot cancel the deal. It's done. And you're responsible for anything that happens to the para, it's like it's yours. My time with the Rav Nachman, why? Why is this unique? In a sense that we treat it like chalipin, even though it's really just a regular purchase. I'm buying something, I'm paying for it with something else. So look, Rabbi Yechon, because he follows Rabbi Yechon and Shita with respect to this whole sugya. The Amr Bar Torah and Mois Kunis. He says, Minat Torah, just by paying for an item, it makes the item mine. So why did the Chacham add a new stipulation, a new level of to the procedure, a new layer? The buyer has to actually take physical possession of the item before it's a done deal. You know, there's a concern. Shema yom eloi. Because otherwise, suppose I'm selling you some, you know, wheat. I received money, but you didn't actually take possession of the wheat. It's still sitting in my basement. And suddenly a fire breaks out. Right? And the seller has the wheat in his basement. The fire breaks out in the neighborhood. Shema yom eloi. So now the seller might not put in enough effort to protect the buyer's property. It won't be Mesa Nefesh. And I'll say, this is for Chatecha Baliyah. Look, the seller tells him, look, your wheat went down in flames in the attic. So to avoid that, the Chacham say, look, until the buyer actually takes possession, the seller can still change his mind if the price rises. So therefore, he has an interest in saving it. And we avoid this issue. That is the basis for the Meshicha requirement. But that's only when it's a typical case. Umusa the Shchicha, Gazer be Rabbanon. Rabbanon only apply their gzeiros, their concerns, on typical standard cases. Umusa the Shchicha, but an unusual situation, such as in our case, where he bought a shor and decides to pay with it with a par, which is an unusual case, like Gazer be Rabbanon did not apply their concerns, and therefore we say, Meshicha is not a requirement. It's instantly a done deal. Okay, so far so good. We began with a kasha, because the Mishnah condition seemed to indicate that we're doing chalipin with money. That was a kasha on the Shita, which does not allow chalipin with money. No, we're speaking about items, animals that are being swapped. And that's going according to Rav Sheshes, who says you can do chalipin with all these types of items, whereas according to Rav Nachman, who says you can't. We have to learn the Mishnah differently, that there's some sort of transaction taking place with an animal being used in lieu of payment. And although typically Meshicha is required, but here not. Because Minat Torah, really, Mois is Kones, Min Rabbanon, we add Meshicha, but this is an uncommon case. Now, one more thing, one more twist. Ul Reish Lakish to Amar Meshicha Mefreshes Minat Torah. But Reish Lakish, who disagrees with Rabbi Yechon, we'll see later on in the parak, he holds that Minat Torah, the item does not revert to the buyer's possession unless he actually takes possession of the item. Minat Torah. So there's no room for exception. So how is he going to learn our Mishnah now? Hanicha yisavel k'Rav Sheshes. Now, if he goes like Rav Sheshes with respect to that other question, Rav Sheshes holds that you can use anything for even pay raise, even animals for chalipin. So he'll learn the Mishnah like that. But the Mishnah is speaking about a flip, a swap, an instant switch, i.e. a chalipin arrangement. Mataris l'k'Rav Sheshes. El yisavel k'Rav Nachman. But let's say Rav Shlokesh, we don't know, but let's say he goes like Rav Nachman. The Amar Peri loy avdi chalipin. You can never do chalipin with anything other than a kli. So you can't do chalipin with animals. Apparently, the Mishnah is speaking about swapping animals. It's not speaking about chalipin. And furthermore, umatbeah leikane. Let's say it holds that matbeah can't either be employed in chalipin. So the Mishnah can't be speaking about that either. So we're stuck. What is the Mishnah speaking about? Hechem mitarslo. Al kocha k'Rav Sheshes mitarslo. So evidently, he goes like Rav Sheshes. Then animals can be employed in a chalipin arrangement, and that's what the Mishnah is speaking about. Tanan. Let's go back to our Mishnah. First Mishnah in the Perek HaZov. Kol matatlin kain zeze. So again, we're speaking about a chalipin arrangement. So any sort of exchange, any sort of item exchange between two parties, items exchanged between two parties, can be employed you know, can be part of a chalipin arrangement. You can employ chalipin on switching items, any type of items. Now, what is kol? Usually kol is an extension, right? You're covering more than basic. What are we trying to include here? What chiddush? What type of items? Or amish lokish? Listen to this. Afilu kismali mois. Kismali mois. Even if Reuven and Shimon decide to exchange bags of money. He has a stack of money. He has a bag of money. You can do that in a chalipin exchange. So bottom line, we have a kasha. We see that money can be part of a chalipin exchange. Tirgum Rav Acha explained, we're not speaking about legal tender, but dinar anka v'anigra. We're speaking about certain types of coins. Anka, nigra, that are no longer in circulation. They're not legal tender. Now, one of these two, Echa shel Peslase Malchus, one of these were canceled by the authorities. And Rashi explains that people will still use it, you know, privately, but publicly it's, you know, it's not part of the circulation. Ve'echad shel Peslase Medina. The other coin has a different problem. The government's okay with it. It's still considered legal, but the people don't use it. So bottom line, since they're not considered proper monies, they don't have a din of a matbeah, they're not treated as full currency, and therefore they're like any other item, precious metals, which can be exchanged in a chalipin arrangement. Utricha, there's a need to speak about both. Rav Acha had to mention both types. Canceled by the government or not accepted, you know, in the retail world. Each one brings out a point. Di ashmina paslasi malchus. If you only speak about the one that was thrust out of circulation by the authorities, by the government, perhaps there it's worse because, you know, this money is no longer recognized anywhere, at least in public, in any town, any city. Medina, but let's say the authority is still okay with it, but the people don't, you know, tend not to use it. So that's a local issue. The Sogle Medina Achriti. So perhaps, although it's not being used locally, but it can be used in a different town, it's still considered legal tender. So maybe it still has the status of a matbeh of currency, bein matbeh nik machalim nifo, cannot be part of a chalipin arrangement. So the point is, no, it's no issue because it's not a full coin. V'yashmina paslasa medina, on the other hand, if we only spoke about the one that's not being accepted by the retailers, mishum de sagle lebetzina, you know what's no longer considered currency because nobody considers it currency, not privately, not publicly. Ava paslasa malchus, but the one that was invalidated by the authorities, isagli b'tzina, which is still accepted, you know, privately. Ema kati matbeu. So perhaps it still has the status of matbeu. Ve'in matbeu nik machalim, and he can't use it as a chalipin arrangement. Tzricha. That's what that's why you have to mention both. In both, we say it's not really considered fully legal tender. In which case, we treat it like any other item, which can be part of a chalipin exchange. So bottom line, we had a shita which says matbeu cannot be used in a chalipin exchange. Not only can't it trigger the chalipin, it can't even be purchased through chalipin. We thought it did, but then we found that Rav Papa himself was chayzer, and we had several kashas on this idea that matbeya seemed to be a legal component of the chalipin. We answered all the kashas all the way down to the kasha from our Mishnah with Rav Acha's interpretation. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabbah.